Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in part two of our chapter seven that's talking all about these game changers that are basically going to be helping us to move away from dysfunction as empaths and moving into empowerment. And I'm going to get my lovely host, Miss Amy. How are you tonight?
Well, we're talking about, do we stay in unhealthy relationships?
Off with your head!
So I don't know.
I knew there was going to be a sound bite on that, so that's good. Well, you know, and taking somebody's head off, maybe it's the words or something. I don't know. Anyway, it's definitely a no thing going on there. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't do that anymore. You know, I don't do that anymore. That's a good phrase.
Well,
good
it's fun to think about it though, sometimes. Let's be honest.
Yes.
You know.
Sometimes.
We can,
yeah.
You know,
exactly. Because I'm desensitized, and you may be feeling that. Yeah.
That we're going to talk about the shadow side, right, of empathing. You know, and the Queen of Hearts is very kind and sweet and adorable. And the Queen of Hearts, you know, gets that flamingo out and off you go. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. She's going to be start whacking. She's whacking them. It's the whacking mole. She's
so
whacking
the
Queen
of Hearts has many sides, is all I'm saying. Just because we grumble and fuss and fume doesn't mean, you know, that's who we really are, right? It's just one of our...
Yeah, and I think that's actually a really good point in talking about, you know, empaths is like, you know, we just don't want to offend anybody. We don't want anybody getting angry. We don't want to create, you know, any kind of things that we're going to have to feel guilty about. And we'll talk about that a little bit later when we get into all the different steps. So I just think it's really something to just own every part of yourself as much as you possibly
Amen.
Can. Yeah, and
yes,
having
exactly.
it be in a gentle way where you can, you know, and, you know, step number seven, we'll just go right to the end, is loving yourself. Through the whole process. So it's almost feel like number seven should be number one, but that's okay. It could be number one and number seven. Because I think we've every day, you know, everybody should have a little sign on their wall saying, you know, I'm loving myself more and more. You know how that goes. It's all good.
Well,
very, very
and
good.
And nobody is more loving than our good Dr. Kristen Miller. And one of the things that she and I do when we're feeling a little frustrated is we do the Durga tongue when we're on a Zoom call. And that's where, you know, Durga is, you know, the queen of destruction. But, you know, we're both very kind and loving, and there's times when we want to Durga things, and so we just start sticking out our tongue, and that means here's the Durga. Everybody be mindful.
You know, that's interesting because to me, it's in yoga, it's like the lion. The lion, like, sticks his tongue out and goes, bleh.
I can't remember, you know, the culture, right, where they want to scare away the enemy, they stick their tongue out.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully that works.
Better than, you know, right, yeah. So,
they probably,
you know, if I'm sticking out my tongue,
take a time out. Like, what are you eating, blah? You know, you can do the play the blah game. You know what I said. Okay, who hasn't played the blah game when you were little? Okay. But
so,
we digress.
Well, I don't think we ever do, right? We're, you know, I have to tell you, so today I was talking to our Maria. And a car goes by me, and it the license plate is Seeker. And then a little bit later, I had parked. We had a bunch of meetings today, and there was a license plate that had ALF, which is my initials, and our mother's birth year. So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. That's very interesting.
So, you know, just really paying attention to what those signs are about in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and it's like, how do I know I'm in the right path? Because all these things keep lining up for me, you know.
Well,
and some people say,
oh,
that's a coincidence, or that's this, or that's that. I'm like, no, let me just trust and be in a place of being open-minded to, like, you know, because the universe has infinite ways of being able to get my attention. The angels are working 24/7 to help us to get the connections that we need, you know. That's something else we're going to talk about a little bit later, too, some of these steps. So it's always being in this place of just being open-minded and coming from that place of loving yourself. And I think if you can surrender to it as much as possible, I think that's the biggest lesson. You know, can I surrender and just have this thing actually give me my best. Am I willing to even have the possibility that I could receive my best, to eliminating it or having it clarify, you know, qualify for stuff.
Well, and again, like you said, owning all the parts of us, you know, what sometimes is like what really is the best. Sometimes it's that, you know, that off with their head part that moment is our best. That doesn't mean we're actually going to do that. But it's, you know, it's the part that says, you know, right now I think it's a no. And, you know.
Yeah, this is how I feel. Yeah. I want you to know how I feel. You don't have to do anything about it, and I'm not going to take off your head, but this is how I feel. Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, or maybe. But, you know, being able to use humor, too. So I think that's important. It's like, you know, kind of a here's a warning shot. This is kind of where I'm coming from, you know. And I think you've told you one of the things that Ross and I do when we are feeling ourselves escalating, we have a pact. We start singing like we're in a musical. So we're still getting our point across, and we may be, you know, kind of, you know, a bit wackadoodle. But when you start singing, it makes it easier to keep it light, even when you have to say things that may not be so much fun.
So getting into our before the steps, I think it's important to talk about that, you know, sometimes we can even be feeling happy or things may actually be going well for us, and we can feel bad about that because, you know, we may be seeing people around us that may not necessarily be in the same kind of situation. So, you know, we buffer it down and make it to where it's not so much. So, you know, we don't feel guilty. You know, it's just even when we've done nothing wrong or hurt anyone and our happiness or success is honestly earned, we feel guilty. We feel guilty for feeling good. And, boy, this is just so misplaced when it comes to guilt. Empaths have a need to be reminded frequently that their success and good fortune is well-earned and well-deserved. And if you go back to our money chapter that we did, this last chapter, it always talks about, you know, money's energy. And if you've got money and flow coming in, it shows you're doing the right things. It's basically a sign that things are going well and you're on the right path.
And, you know, again, not for me, I'd say I don't have that issue really about feeling guilty because I really work hard to be conscious. And there may be times I wish things turned out differently, but very rarely do I have that. But that's because I'm doing the work, and a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is, I think, going to help with that. And page 164, there's that litmus test for determining if you're in the right relationship or situation. So I thought maybe we'd play with that a little bit. I think part of this, I'm going to read this, but I think part of this is also we're in relationships to heal parts of ourselves and learn things. So I don't think it's quite as cut and dry as this what I'm about to read says. So it says, ask yourself, am I doing all these things for my friend, colleague, boss, partner, because I truly desire to help them, because I love and care for them, or in a work environment, like and respect them, or and generally want to help and they generally need my help, or is it because I feel I should do it to be a good person and I don't want to be judged by them and deal with the guilt later? If it's the latter, then you're not being honest with that person. So I think I'm not necessarily arguing with what they're saying. I'll put that over there, but also is the part, if I can get neutral enough, why am I in this situation? What is it that I'm to learn?
Yeah, and
so
you know, one of the steps
that
really talk. Yeah, because number
ahead.
Three is talking about being an observer, and we're already right off the bat kind of putting ourselves in that position about like that really is the observer. If I can step back a little bit and say, what am I here to learn, and distance myself a little bit from just being able to do that, and really asking Spirit to help me to get a perspective on that, I think it can be very helpful.
And going back to the dealing with the guilt that accompanies saying no, and I think guilt maybe more for me is it, you know, fine, it's just a word, but how do I say yes with grace and how do I say no with grace, right? More than getting caught up in the guilt part of it. But the first part here, number one, is acceptance and awareness. This means being aware of the shadow side, right, of being an empath, and making friends with it. And kind of like back to where you were just were and what was that litmus test, how will this help me in my growth? Is there something that's coming up for healing? And not saying your shadow side is good or bad, but it's something. And because a lot of times shadow side may be I'm open and I'm bolsterous and I'm proud, and that could be a shadow side that you're hiding because you got beat up for being that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, it's about this fear and misled guilt and self-denial. And, you know, the thing with all that is just learning, you know, little by little to become friends with it. You know, when you've got adversities, and, I've had a couple different situations in my life lately where, you know, one individual in particular has, you know, brought stuff up, or, you know, it's like there's a lot of stuff that's coming up for everybody that's like years ago. And then all of a sudden this person shows up and you're just like, gosh, I thought I was way over that. And here it is again, kind of a thing. And I've really learned to just say thank them for bringing it up so I can take a look at it and where am I with that now? And what's true and what's not true for me. So it really helps you to give it, maybe just kind of put a pause on it for a second and say, you know, gosh, you know, I'm not that person anymore. I understand things in a different way. And right. I can be grateful for them being able to bring it up so I can take a look at it and also see maybe how they have changed, because they're bringing it up for some reason for themselves as well. Not that, you know, we need to say, hey, this is what you're learning. You know how that goes unless somebody asks. But, you know, part of it too is just being able to be that observer for pretty much as many perspectives as you possibly can. And that might take a little bit to do that. But a lot of it's, you know, we talked before about Byron Katie. And, you know, she's got the questions of like, you know, is this true? Is this really true? And being able to back that up. And then you do the turnaround. And the turnaround actually makes you look at it of like, what if that were me in that situation, being the one who's either doing or not doing? And how would that be for me to be learning from that perspective?
Well, and for me, that's what the Flower for Living, you know, community is about, is having people that we can, you know, come from that neutral perspective and have these open and honest conversations. And a lot of times in those conversations, we're discovering what's real for us, right? We're like, oh, wow, I had no idea that was in there. And I want to throw some, you know, my dear friend Mickey Wade, he always says, let's throw some bait in the water and see what bites. I just did a review of a book called The Coaching Habit, and that's by Michael Stanlier, S-T-A-N-I-E-R, Stanlier. And he talks about these seven questions to help you, you know, stay focused in a conversation to really make it the most productive. But the one I want to talk about right now, he talks about the strategic question. And he says, if you're saying yes to this, what are you saying no to? And he says, this helps you to prioritize and set boundaries with your time and energy.
That's so perfect. We're talking about, one-word answers here. If I'm saying yes or if I'm saying no, what am I saying no to?
Because it's like,
and,
yes,
you know, it's
here.
And that could be a good thing. Yeah. Yeah, I think that here is flip-flop. No.
Go ahead.
I was just like, I just think it can totally be a flip-flop, too, because sometimes the no is the proper answer. A lot of people always think it's always yes, but no could be the right answer, or yes, you know. And that could be even in the same situations, depending on as we're moving through that moment. You know, it turns from a yes to no to yes and no, depending on how's that feeling for me? What is my sense of like what's really true for me?
Well, and as you're wading through it, right, you're finding out where your yeses and nos are, right, and where their yeses and nos are, right, and if there's an ongoing negotiation. And he talks about in terms of, you know, especially, you know, in the work environment, that there are three key areas to be strategic: projects, people, and patterns. And I think that's kind of interesting, especially with empaths, the patterns that we created to protect ourselves, are they really helping us? So I want to walk through these questions, and what I'll do, I will post them on the Flower for Living and Transformation Cafe community. In projects is, what projects do you need to abandon or postpone? What meetings will no longer attend? What resonates when you need to divert to the yes? And then people, what expectations do you need to manage? What drama will you extract yourself from? And what relationships let wither? So I'm not sure I'm fond of that particular word, but I think renegotiate, or, you know, does this still work for me? Is this still a plus for me? And then patterns, what patterns do you need to break? What old stories or dated ambitions do you need to update? And what beliefs about yourself do you need to just let go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. It reminds me of there's a new podcast from HeartMath. If you go to heartmath.com, they do a podcast once a month. And this month they're basically doing one called The Brain is Always Listening. And it's by Dr. Amen is basically talking about that. Daniel Amen.
Yeah,
he's great. Yeah. Oh, and he goes into this really great conversation about the brain and how the brain is always looking for patterns.
Yep.
And depending on what you're doing with different things, it'll just it keeps accumulating those things. So he's the whole conversation about COVID and how, you know, people got to a point where they were anxious, and then, you know, it just escalates until it's pretty much the norm of operating, and as opposed to just this odd thing, it turns into the norm. So it's really interesting that some of the stuff you talked about that with patterns. So I thought that was really interesting. So I definitely recommend that. We can list that as something for people to go check out too, because it was a great conversation.
Perfect. And Dr. Amen's book, Change Your Mind, Change Your Life, is phenomenal. I think that's the title. And I had a couple of friends who, well, they used to before COVID, but went all over the country using that Change Your Mind or Brain, Change Your Life. And there's a program written for young people, and they were teaching it all over the country in high schools. And having amazing success.
Yeah. And they're doing a lot of stuff where they're really wanting to change curriculum and things like that, where they're actually trying to teach a lot about brain health and things like that from a young age. So people, you know, why wait till you're 50 to be working on stuff like that? You might as well have it. You can use it your whole life. Yeah. His newest book is called You Happier. So, you know, we've talked about that before on the show, all about the fact that, you know, happiness is a choice. And it's a way of, you know, looking at, you know, seeking to look at the world. It's like, you know, oh, I used to think negatively, but I don't do that anymore. It's one of those kind of statements you say to yourself. Is that, you know, your body is always listening. Your brain is always listening. So it's, what am I telling it? Is it negative thoughts or is it positive thoughts? And kind of working from that point. So,
are they
really great.
Not even negative or positive. Are they motivating me?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are my thoughts, are my words, right? Are they motivating me towards where I am called to be?
Right. I think we may even want to do that book. That's a cafe. It might be a cafe book club. We want to really look at that. He was talking about there's different kinds of brains. Depending what kind of brain you have, you're going to be dealing with it in a different way. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. You know, what are some things? So, you know, so again, with number one, it's about acceptance and awareness, you know, looking at these things, the fear, the misplaced guilt and the self-denial and, you know, learning to be able to lean into making friends with that and being able to flip that around and looking at that instead of being a people pleaser, being something where, you know, you can hopefully find a win-win instead of having it feel like there's always this thing where, you know, you're having to just, you know, not have it be successful. So number two is choosing the better option. And boy, you know, when we're talking about this, you know, we just talked about the win-win. It's the familiar lose-lose situations that we always, you know, depending on where you've been with self-care and feeling guilty about spending time with yourself. You know, I've known a couple of friends of mine recently who've just really kind of woken up to that. And it's like, wow, I'm willing to spend my money, my time on all these other people, but I feel guilty when I spend anything on myself. So it's really taking a step back to that and just like, you know, it's that old, you know, story of, you know, taking the air mask and putting it on yourself when you're on the airplane to make sure that you can be optional and function and be able to help others before, you know, you do it for another person. So that's such a timely lesson for people. So it's one of those things of like, you know, yes, we've heard it forever, but boy, you know, taking beginner's mind and being able to embrace that. Because, you know, she's like, you know, visualize both to see. And when you have these different things, when you're looking at for your situations in life, lean into the ones that will feel better for you and feel more authentic for you. And that might take some time of being able to say, well, I don't even know how I feel about something. So it's inviting yourself to really stay in your body. And once you do stay in your body, you know, I like to think of it as like a traffic signal. I got a green light or I've got a red light, depending on what I'm doing with something. And if I have two choices, I try to have it. Yeah.
And you can actually do that. That's a great exercise where, you know, stop and take a nice deep breath, have yes or no question. And, you know, visualize, you know, ask the question and visualize a stoplight coming. And what color do you get? You may get red, green, yellow. You may get purple. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of it's just up to you. for sure. I mean, you know, purple can, whatever that means to you, you know what I mean? And like, right. That's the, right. The wonderful thing about working with stuff like that is like, you know, it's just like working with pendulums. You could say, well, if it always goes right, then that means it's right for me or whatever, you know, you basically can, right. Can set the intention for it to be utilizing it in a way that it's going to help you to communicate and connect with yourself. So, you know, it can be really easy, but it can be very profound at the same time, being able to work mm-hmm. with things like that. So, you know, it's even better if, you know, if they, even if you're left with a guilt, because like, you know, when you're moving out of some of these things that you've been doing, you know, it's just as ways of being that you can find yourself, you're still feeling guilty, but it's a little less. And, you know, you're feeling like, you know, you're no longer ignored. You're no longer, you know, allowing yourself to be a doormat and being able to move into something that's more healthier for everybody in the long run, which is something that, you know, that's really what we're seeking to just kind of share with everybody, for making it just be that a step that can really, you know, bring you into just a whole new way of being a little happier, a little healthier.
And with
Number three,
you already had talked about that, about it being, you know, being the neutral observer. And I think that's something that we're, you know, we're working towards to be able to, what is really going on. I think there's a lot of gold here in the number four, which is develop some gentle language that works for you when you want to say no, or you mm-hmm. feel like, you know, the yes is not coming easily for you. And for a lot of times, it's people who have a problem dealing with conflict. So here's some, and what we want to do is support you in finding your own way of answering this, but here's some you might try on for size and see how they work for you. Let me think about that and come back to you. Depending on who you are, you might, for me, it's like, you know, let me pray about that or let me sleep on it. I need to ponder that. Is it okay if I don't make a decision right away? And I want to say there's very few times where you have to make a decision right away. And if people mm-hmm. are pushing you too hard to make a decision, you really want to be careful about that. Let me see.
Yeah.
I'm really touched that you came to me with this, but I have too much on my plate right now. So as an act of self-care, I'm going to have to turn you down. Okay. I'm not particularly a fan of that, but, you know, if that's something that feels right to you, or adapt it. I've thought about it, and it's not a good time for me, but thank you for thinking of me. That's good. One of my personal favorites is I think about it. What can I do? What can't I do? And then mm-hmm. when I go to the person, a lot of times I'll say, let me pray about it. Let me sleep on it. Let me think about it. Whatever comes to me authentically. And then when I'm mm-hmm. ready, I go back to you and say, this is what I can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's usually what I like to say is like, you know, it's like, I'll think about it and I'll let you know what I can do.
And let them know what you can do.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not a matter of saying no, but it's a matter of like, let me see what really works for me in a way that makes sense for everybody.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but you know,
like I thought about it, and
like,
I realized
it
would be too much. Yeah, it would be too much
right,
for me.
Yeah.
And that's a good model for everybody, because if you've got people asking for help, you know, they need to have it where they can say no too. You know,
well, and then supporting
the
like supporting Angels of Las Vegas. I don't want to run the volunteer program, but I
mm-hmm.
will support the volunteers. I am willing to do training. I'm willing to coach somebody who wants to run that program. But I'm really clear, running that program is not the work for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's another one thing, too, to say I think is great. It's like I thought about it, and that's not really something that I think I can be doing right now.
And this is how I can help, right?
Yeah.
This is what I
yeah.
can do. It's in alignment with my
yeah.
calling.
Right, right. So, you know, and even if you have to just ultimately say, I'm not going to, I can't, that would overextend me, and I really can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
It just
shows
that you thought about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, that's not me. But thank you. Yeah.
And of course, you know, one of the things we've talked a lot about is no is a complete sentence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, practice with friends first. You know, you kind of make it a playful thing. You know, you can be out and about or whatever. You know, you can spend a whole day of like, you know, if something doesn't work right, you know, you could say yes and just no, and that would be okay. So I think it just helps to kind of get it into your life that, you know, you can just say no and have people accept it. You know, especially if you've got friends that you can kind of make it a game or whatever at the beginning. It's just like, you know, if I say, you know, we're just going to play a yes and no today.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't have to explain myself. You know, you might laugh after
idea.
You do it because you know it's kind of a game, but you get used to it. So after a while, it's like, no. Yeah.
Well, that's
okay.
Why we play the transformation game, right? Because
yeah, that's true.
We're putting a real thing on a game board, And after playing it, we realize, oh, that's how this works for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, mm-hmm. we're curious about playing the game, but the game helps us to get to the quote-unquote real life.
So for people who don't know what transformation is, Finhorn created a game called Transformation back in, like, I think in the 1960s or 70s. And it's actually a board with angel cards and messages for different things that happen that are really wonderful, because you actually go through your physical, your mental, your emotional, and your spiritual aspects of yourself. And there's awarenesses that go with each of those levels. And as you go through those things and you really being in a place of really, like, I really am looking for the answer, it can be very helpful, because you've got setbacks and then you've got insights and things like that that can come your way that really can really help you to, if you can sit with the situation you're thinking about or asking about, it can be very helpful, and it helps you to kind of come from more of a broader perspective sometimes. So if you've not played the game, you can go over to Finhorn, and I think they actually have people who facilitate that nowadays that you can do. Or, you know, get yourself a, you know, get your own board, which is really fun, too. So how many boards do you have, Amy?
I have two now. One of them is at your place. I had 10 boards at one time. I used to play with roomfuls of people.
So, you know.
I always have one in the car,
very helpful,
so I'm ready.
Right. It's a very helpful tool. So it's just one of those other things that, you know, it just, like I said, it helps to give a perspective, and it's pretty amazing sometimes when you put that. And you can do a mini version of it or do the full version depending on what you have for situations and the amount of time that you want to dedicate to it. So it can be very profound. So I want to go back for a second too, which was just with number three, when we're talking about body awareness. And I think mm-hmm. it was important to talk about one thing that we're going to be going into number four. No, we're actually number three here. But is being in a place where when you're being able to be an observer, it's important to know that it lessens the physical impact that emotions can have on your body, because you're able to really see what's going on from a different perspective. You know, because it says your physical impact of these emotions have on our bodies, it reduces that heavy, stressful, fearful feeling. So I'm watching it as a loving observer for myself and not feeling like I'm fully in it. So, and I've heard practices too of, like, I don't take that personally. I can let that be something that's outside of me, that I just observe it, and I'm grateful that I have that. I can have that to experience. So it's kind of a different way of looking at it, and I think can be very helpful. Because I know for me, especially with COVID, I was doing that a lot. I'm like, I'm not taking that personally. Mm-hmm. Whatever's in front of me, I'm like, and I'm not going to take myself personally, too. So it can be helpful.
Well, a lot of times, you know, the adage, hurt people, and people are hurt on all levels. You know, so that's, you know, so a lot of times you're dealing with the pain, not the person. But that doesn't mean you have to accept abuse. But, you know, we recognize, you know, I'm dealing with, you know, pain on some level, and how do I want to come at it from that perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're rounding up. I know our half hour goes really fast, but I just want to talk briefly about number five is learning to receive. And we've been talking about that. We will. So giving and receiving in tandem, doing inreach and outreach in tandem, I think is really important. I'm going to say number seven and come back to six, because I'd like you to talk about that a little bit. Number seven, like you had said earlier, that to love yourself through all of this and not beating yourself up is really key as we're learning to grow, as we're learning to be in our authentic power, and learning how to, and you're learning tools that you don't know. So be kind to yourself. You're saying, I don't know. That's why I'm doing a practice and learning. Yay, you. And we're all learning. We're all in practice. So the number six to finish the seven is journaling. So I just want to say something quick about that, and I'd love to have you talk about how you help people to use journaling with the flowers. I think that could be really helpful in this right here. But one of the things that when people are feeling frustrated, I like to talk to them about doing using journaling to release emotions. But there's a technique called purge writing that it really isn't journaling. What you do is you set a timer, let's say for 3-5 minutes, and you just rah, 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 and get it out of your system. What I recommend is you shred it, get rid of it, rip it up. Do not put it in a journal, reread it, because you soak that back in. So that's a really helpful technique. So you do the purge writing, but then you want to breathe in some love. You want to bring in some peace, maybe have some essential oil, something, you know, that that fills that void. Because if you don't do that, that stuff's going to come right back in. So release whatever you need to release and bring in love, and then maybe have the conversation. Don't have the conversation when you're super heated, because I guarantee you can't take the words back, and it's not going to help the situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like there's anything. You're bringing it up so you can let it go. You know, I'm breathing in all the things that are receiving me, and then I let go of all that's not. And I can know that as I get the intention of letting it go, it can leave me. So with the flower journaling, here we're doing the journaling thing. And what's important, too, is like one thing I really loved about in number three and being the observer, when you get into journaling, you become an observer for yourself, which is really what can be very powerful. Because, you know, it's about writing down your feelings and feeling about that, and it can be very cathartic. But when it comes to being observer, it's helping you to be the watchful witness for yourself. But one thing wonderful about being an observer too is you can, with the flower journaling, you could bring in a flower. And in the Native American, they would actually have you to, like, you know, observe being as the flower. You know, what if I was the daisy? And allowing yourself to be in that presence of the flower, whether it's a rose or flower, whatever you just feel drawn to. You know, you can go out and maybe go to a flower shop or a market or whatever, and you see some flower, and for whatever reason, it's just really speaking to you. You know, go ahead and bring a few of them home, put them in a vase, and enjoy them. But I think it's really powerful to have one by your bedside, and in the morning and then at night before you go to bed, just ask the flower, what do I need to know? And just be open to surrendering to whatever you feel like you need to write down, you know, just trusting that and using the process to help you open up. Because really, flowers are just messengers of our souls. And they really help us to tap into those areas of ourselves that we don't necessarily allow ourselves to. And it's that being that witness and being loving and kind with ourselves is a perfect thing. You know, I'm going to love myself through this. And the flowers are there to help me in a soulful way of being able to embrace me in this very soft love of nature, so they can show me what's really true for me. And it's going to help me to blossom to something that I never even thought about. So it can be something that can be very profound. It's something in Flowerful Living. We're going to be making offers where people can be doing that on a regular basis with the different flowers through the year. And just coming through a lot of different processes, you know, I'm going to turn my soil, I'm going to fertilize, I'm going to plant some new seeds. So there's all kinds of really wonderful ways that we can be, caring for our inner gardens and taking care of them. So that's something that can be really profound, that really helps with our intuition and just our sense of well-being within us. And as we take care of what's inside of us, it turns into some people that we are interacting with in the world, and hopefully, you know, just makes our, you know, this beautiful earth garden something that we all treasure in just totally more deep, profound ways than we could have ever been able to articulate. It can be very profound. So there you go.
I know. No,
so,
you didn't.
Yes. That was so great. I could say yes. It's all good. Yes,
okay.
Exactly. Right. So, again, just looking forward to any comments you guys would like to have with the Transformation Cafe podcast over at Facebook. If you'd like to make any questions, comments, and things like that, you know, do some journaling and let us know if something really came up for you. If you went ahead and felt really led to get a flower, what was that? And depending on the flower, love for you to take it over to Flower for Living and take a picture of it and maybe have a little bit of a message that you receive from your flower as well. So a little bit of something to just kind of share with the community and put it out there for everybody. Yeah. So thank you, Miss Amy, as always. And thank you all of our international audience. We love you and we're so grateful for you. So thank you for joining us.
Hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.